Too often, we can get stuck doing something because we've always done it, instead of really being intentional about making sure the effort we're making is producing godly, meaningful results.
You know, so most people think that the answer to burnout is getting a break or going on vacation, stepping away. But that's only true to the degree that we can use that time to remind ourselves of why we're making the effort in the first place, reassessing if the way we're working is actually helping us feel connected to the people we're working with or for, and that our efforts are really producing the fruit that they're meant to, and we're not just going through the motions. So that's true whether regardless of whether we're working on a project or pursuing a goal or trying to deepen our spiritual life or make our relationships stronger. See, God didn't create us so that we would grind ourselves down with fruitless effort. We were made to be co-creators with Him and work in a way that builds communion and produces an abundant harvest of meaning and joy. And if that sounds great to you on paper, but you're not quite sure how to really apply it to get more out of your work, your role, a particular relationship you're struggling in, or your spiritual walk, let's talk it out today on More to Life. The show is titled Running on Empty. Do you feel like you are running on fumes spiritually, emotionally, relationally, or otherwise? We want to help you not just get a break, but really find ways to get re-energized and get what you were looking for out of that work or role or that relationship or your spiritual life. Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord. We'll start taking your questions. In the name of the Father,
Father and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we bring you those parts of our life that feel a little devoid of meaning or purpose. Those projects that we're working on, the work that we're doing, the relationships we're working on, even our spiritual life, where we just feel like we're putting effort in and getting less and less out. We ask you, Lord, to help us through those times of burnout. Help us to reconnect the meaning with our efforts. Help us to be mindful of the way we're working and to make sure that the effort we're doing isn't just focused on getting the task done, but really staying connected to the people we're working with and the people we're working for. Help us to remember why we're doing what we're doing and to be mindful of whether our efforts are actually producing that fruit or not. And if not, give us the wisdom we need to refine our approach so that it can be more intentional, more effective, more meaningful. Restore us, Lord, because you've told us that your yoke is easy and your burden is light. So teach us how to do all the things that you've asked us to do in ways that are fruitful, that are meaningful, and that are relational, so that we can be connected to you and the people that you've created us to live in relationship with. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the show is titled Running on Empty, as we talk about burnout and how to bounce back from being burned out in some part of your life, whether we're talking about your work, your role as a parent, for example, or your role in a relationship. If you're feeling like you're putting a whole lot of work into this relationship with your spouse or your kid or your parent or somebody you care about, but you're not getting a ton back, maybe it's your spiritual life and you're feeling a little dry and burned out. Whatever it is, we want to help you get the bounce back in your step and really start feeling like the work you're doing in that part of your life is paying off. 877-573-7825.
We have a question that came in from Denise, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Pennsylvania. She said, I've been a nurse for almost 15 years, and I used to feel like it was my calling. Lately, though, I dread every shift. I still do the work. I still take good care of patients. But something in me has gone flat, and I feel guilty even admitting that. My husband says maybe I just need a vacation. But we took one over the summer, and within a week of being back, I felt exactly the same. I don't think I'm tired the way sleep fixes. I think I've lost something, and I don't know what it is or how to get it back. How do I tell the difference between needing a break and needing to make some kind of bigger change. And that's Denise in Pennsylvania.
Well, Denise, thank you for the question. And I think in part you've answered your own question. You know, when you say, how can I tell the difference between needing a break and needing to make some kind of bigger change? You took a break. And it didn't benefit you more than a week after you got back. And so that was good to take that break. But, you know, as we said earlier in our reflection, breaks tend to help burnout only to the degree that we use the break to rethink the way we're working. And so the question for you, you know, I'm not suggesting that you need to make a huge change in your career, but you might. But more likely, you might want to look at the way you're working, why you're working, and the fruit that your work is producing, right? So number one, are you working in a way that's helping you feel connected to your colleagues, that's helping you feel connected to your patients, that's helping you feel connected to that mission that you had whenever you started being a nurse? If not, what kinds of changes would you need to make to reassert that connection to the people that you work with, to your patients, or to that mission? Secondly, is the way you're working life-giving, or is it burning you down because the hours you're working are unhealthy, or the way you're bringing work home with you is unhealthy? What kinds of boundaries might you need to set that would help you have a healthier work-life balance, not just practically speaking, but mentally as well? Because in helping professions like nursing or counseling, it's very easy to take on the pain of the people that you're serving and just kind of bring it with you. So what kind of internal mental barriers or boundaries might you need to set to be able to protect yourself there?
And that's especially true if something has changed in the management over you. I have a lot of friends who are nurses who thrive, and then suddenly they'll get some kind of manager who isn't as respectful of them as human people, as people who are really doing a great service for others, and suddenly the wind goes out of their sails because they're being treated as objects instead of people who really deserve respect. So really look and see if something shifted there, and if there's something you need to do in terms of moving departments or moving your situation to somebody who's going to treat you the way you deserve to be treated.
And then finally, what was it that you wanted to get out of nursing? What, you know, when you first started it, along the way, what's the fruit that you were hoping to gain by doing this work? And is the work you're doing continuing to produce that fruit? If not, you know, are you still motivated by that same fruit? Or do you need to work in a different way that would produce that fruit? Right. So those are the questions that you want to really look at this point. I mean, I think that you've shown yourself that taking a break isn't quite enough to get the energy back. So really look at those questions that help produce the meaning in the work that's missing right now.
And I think that all of us, when we take a vacation, kind of go to the, I'm not going to think about any work that I do. I'm not going to have the conversation with the people I'm on vacation with, whether it's our spouse or our friends or whoever that is. I'm just going to do the kind of vacation I love, sit in the sun or do whatever I'm doing and not think about it. But what we're saying here is you might want to take a few days even off and really start assessing those questions away from the system that you're in so that you can really look at this in a way that assesses it, gives you some space to be able to really ask those questions and see what comes up for you as you do.
I'd encourage you to download the podcast, the program, listen to it again, and really just prayerfully reflect on the questions we posed to you. We sort of put a lot of different things out there. It can be hard to remember. So if you have the podcast handy, it can be the springboard for some more prayer and conversation and reflection.
Well, and in terms of the conversation, I think you need to be really honest with your husband, because if you're feeling this burned out and he's saying, oh, you just need a vacation, basically, you know, what you're hearing is, I don't really want to hear about changing our lives in any way. I don't want to hear about your deeper needs. So you need to be able to say to him, look, we both need to take a couple of days and really discuss this and assess this together, because I know it affects you. And I need your support to be able to figure out what I need. So
yeah, make sure you're praying through it together. And if you're looking for some help in that, our book, Praying For and With Your Spouse, The Way to Deeper Love, can give you and your husband a way to really pray through this and discern what God's calling you to next. And if you need more support, then please don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. But I do think the questions that we put to you here We'll give you plenty to pray and reflect on and discuss with your husband and hopefully give you a way forward. If you need more support, then reach out to us here or through CatholicCounselors.com. And we're taking your calls, listeners, right now at 877-573-7825. Today's show titled Running on Empty, as we talk about burnout. Whether you're burned out in your work or the role that you serve in your family or your parish, if you're burned out in a relationship that you're working hard on but not getting a lot out of, or even burned out in your spiritual life, we want to hear from you and help you reconnect with the energy and the meaning that you're looking for from those work and roles and efforts. 877-573-7825. When we come back, in addition to taking your questions, we'll be joined by Bill Donahue of the Theology of the Body Institute, who'll be sharing some additional insights from the TOB on overcoming burnout. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues after the break.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com. This Ave Maria program brought to you in part by the following nonprofit.
One of the greatest threats to your family isn't a disaster or a virus, but addiction. In nearly every family and every pew, someone is silently struggling. Beginning July 11th, Shalom World TV and the iThirst Initiative present Unshackled, a powerful new series on the Catholic Church's response to the addiction crisis, bringing together leading voices to discuss real healing. Stream it free at shalomworld.org or on the Shalom World app today.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, Running on Empty, as we talk about burnout and how to overcome it. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Bill Donahue of the Theology of the Body Institute. He was last week teaching a course on the Way of Beauty, and I'm really all about how to get our energy back. Bill, welcome to More to Life.
Good morning to you both. Thanks for having me back on. And yes, fresh from a wonderful week of essentially looking at the beauty of art, literature, poetry, cinema, sculpture, and abiding in all that beauty through the lens of the theology of the body. It was a deep but a restful week where we didn't take our smartphones out a lot. We just sort of tarried in the beautiful, and I do feel recharged.
Well, that's awesome. So tell us some insights from the Theology of the Body and from this Way of Beauty course that you taught last week on how we can get our energy back when we're feeling a little drained or burned out.
Yeah, honestly, the first couple of days, it was a sort of detox. We began last Sunday night with a meditation on Martha and Mary, and we sort of diagnosed that gospel passage as we're all Martha. You know, we're all Martha, and we're trying to Mary. I kind of made a joke. I said, you might have Martha syndrome. Ask your doctor if you've got MMS. And it means basically we're kind of running. And even when we stop and pause, we whip out the smartphone and we think we're kind of rest for a minute. But what we do when we pull out the technology is we keep activating our brains. And so we try to lean into Mary, who sits at the feet of Jesus. And really, it's hard to do that. It's hard to slow down. But as we spent some days together pondering great art, praying, listening to rich music, we could feel a weight lifted off our shoulders. One of the great lessons is that you know, we're not supposed to not act. We all have Martha and Mary swirling within us. It's just we're supposed to act more like Mary, who chose the better part. And that was the key.
Well, and I think what you're really getting at, if I'm understanding you, is that it's not that we don't do anything, like you said, but whatever we do, we have to do it in a way that enables us to stay connected to God, to the people we're working with or the people we're serving, and the mission that we're serving, instead of just sort of doing the task or doing the next thing that's in front of us, then doing the next thing after that and doing it and becoming human doings. We really focus on how do I do the things that I'm doing in a way that help me stay connected to the people that I'm working with or the people that I'm serving. And that's really the source of the meaning is that relationship and connection. And the theology of the body keeps bringing us back to that need for communion.
Yes, it's really essentially that, focusing on the faith and on the persons around us more than the facts only or the parts and what we have to do. It's about presence and being more than acting and running. And again, all of us are caught up in a culture right now that really loves to get us moving constantly 24/7. So I think A little patience with ourselves and settling back into what it means to be human essentially is the key.
Yeah, I think that especially for women right now, everything is charted out. Every task, every to-do list is, you know, as we check it off, even if we drank our water that day, is like a Scooby snack. If I get to put the check there, oh, I'm succeeding. And it's just about completing that checklist rather than attaching to ourselves, our needs, who we are, the people around us, those relationships. It's just, let me get those all checked off so it looks real cute, or I color in the boxes, and we're depleting ourselves, because it's just like with Martha, the task, let's get the dinner made, let's get this done, let's get everything on the table, and it's wearing us out.
So Bill, this Way of Beauty course sounds amazing. I know it's over now, but what are the things you have coming up in the Theology of the Body Institute that folks can take advantage of?
Yes, thanks for that. We would love to have people come out to Black Rock in southeastern PA. My next course is a TOB1 entry-level course in the fall, October, but our dear Dr. Christopher West will be also offering a Theology of the Body Level 2 in just a few weeks. And these weeks really are meant to be filling us up in our faith, but also restful. So we'd love to have you come out. TOBinstitute.org is the website.
Check it out, tobinstitute.org. Bill, thanks for being with us. And again, the Theology of the Body is really about what does it mean for a person to thrive? What does it mean to for a person to build healthy, holy relationships that are really, truly fulfilling? And so it applies to every aspect of human life. And the more we understand the Theology of the Body, the more we're able to understand God's plan for flourishing. Thanks for being with us, Bill. Again, that's tobinstitute.org. Check it out for more courses and information. And we are taking your calls right now at 877-573-7825. We're talking about burnout today. How can you get your energy back, that sense of meaning and purpose and drive and excitement for doing what you do, whether that's your work, working on a particular relationship that you're not getting a ton out of these days, your spiritual life, if you're feeling a little dry, let's help you bounce back. 877-573-7825.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. There's more to it than reciting the act of spiritual communion. We should begin by having sincere repentance for our sins and affirming our belief that Christ's death redeemed us. Next, we call to mind the spiritual gifts found in Christ's sacrifice and thank God earnestly for them. Now we are disposed to pray the traditional prayer of spiritual communion. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
How can we regard John the Baptist? In a sense, John the Baptist is the mouthpiece of the Holy Spirit. He was filled with the Spirit even before his birth, when Elizabeth reported to Mary that the babe in her womb leaped for joy as Mary arrived pregnant with Jesus to visit and assist her cousin. John the Baptist was the Elijah promised to come before the arrival of the Messiah. He also completes the cycle of prophets that began with Elijah. In John, the Catholic Catechism tells us, the Holy Spirit begins the restoration of man to the divine holiness, prefiguring what he would achieve with and through Christ. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism. Please visit us at our website, www.maltausa.org.
He was a pope, a saint, and a doctor of the Church.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
Pope St. Gregory I the Great is one of only four popes honored as the Great. Among his many achievements was sending missionaries across Northern Europe, especially St. Augustine of Canterbury, who brought Christ to the people of England. In a pun, Pope Gregory called the English people angels. He died in 604.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Ever wonder why your best intentions to stay calm this time seem to evaporate the second an argument gets going? Well, it's not a willpower problem. It's a biology problem. When we're in conflict with somebody, stress hormones flood our bloodstream. If we're not careful, that can cause our brain's problem-solving ability to literally shut down. And at that point, we stop problem-solving and start reacting to the other person as a threat. And any chance of solving the problem goes away. That's why in God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, I tell people the secret to winning every argument is catching ourselves early, at the first sign of tension, not after we're already seeing red. Learning to catch those early signs that our brain is getting overheated, and doing little things like taking a breath, asking God to help us stay focused on solutions rather than reacting, slowing down how quickly we're talking so our brain can keep up, and similar strategies can keep a conversation on track and prevent it from becoming a fight that leaves everyone feeling worse. For more tips on keeping your cool and turning conflict into connection, see my book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, Run on Empty. As we talk about those times when we're feeling burned out, whether that's burnout in your job, burnout in the role that you play, for example, being a parent or working in your parish in some capacity.
Being a caregiver, that all can really wear you out.
Or it could be a relationship. I mean, maybe you're working on your marriage and you're getting less and less out of it, or you're trying to parent your kids and you're feeling less and less joy. Or there's a relationship with your parent or someone else, a friendship that you feel like you're putting all your energy into, but you don't really get anything back from. Maybe it's your spiritual life that you're feeling burned out in. You know, we can all go through dry spells and times when God feels distant or our spiritual practices seem kind of pointless. Let's talk it out and help you get your energy back in every part of your life as we talk about running on empty. 877-573-7825 is the number. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
Before we go to our next question, we want to make sure we are celebrating one of our very amazing EWTN affiliates, the Guadalupe Radio Network, with 48 stations serving Texas, Kansas, New Mexico, Alabama, Florida, Washington, D.C., and Virginia.
Whew. They've been with us for an incredible 26 years, so congratulations to our good friend and dear supporter of our ministry, Toya Hall, Sammy Rodriguez Jr., and the whole Guadalupe Radio Network team. From your friends, Greg and Lisa, and all of us here at EWTN, we love you guys. We thank you for your support over the years, and we are happy to celebrate this incredible milestone of 26 years bringing Catholic radio to so much of the country. Thank you guys for all your hard work. And listeners, thank you for all of your support of EWTN Amen. Catholic Radio. Make sure you're supporting your local EWTN radio affiliate with your prayers, but with your dollars as well. Let's keep EWTN going strong for decades to come so we can keep supporting you and your loved ones in living a more faithful, joyful, and abundant life.
I know a lot of people turn to EWTN when they're feeling confused, burned out, kind of alone, or when you're choosing to celebrate God's presence in your life. So keep it here and growing strong.
And again, congratulations to our good friend Toya and Sammy Rodriguez Jr. and the whole team at Guadalupe Radio Network for all your years of serving the kingdom of God Amen. Through Catholic radio. With that, we are taking your calls at 877-573-7825, talking about burnout today in any part of your life. You can also shoot your questions to us, questions@moretoliferadio.com.
Well, we have a question that came in from Bethany, who's listening in Tennessee. She said, I'm a stay-at-home mom of four, and I love my kids more than anything. But most days I feel completely used up by dinner time. I have nothing left for my husband or my prayer life or myself. What gets me is that this is exactly the life I wanted and prayed for. So why do I feel so empty in it? I find myself snapping at everyone and then beating myself up for not being the mom I want to be. I keep waiting to feel the joy everyone says I'm supposed to have here. But this is something, is there something wrong with me, or am I just missing something about how this is all supposed to work? And that's Bethany in Tennessee.
Well, Bethany, thank you so much for your question. I'm reminded, and this is something that kind of struck me a couple of weeks ago that I saw online. I'm reminded of a saying, though, the saying that I'm referring to, that we should never forget the blessing of being exhausted by the work that we once prayed to be allowed to do.
That doesn't deny the exhaustion.
No. I'm not dismissing what you're saying. But your comment about, you know, I really wanted to do this.
She prayed for this. This is what she wanted.
Just reminded me of that. But yes. So, you know, sometimes we do meaningful work, but we do it in ways that are draining to us and that don't really serve the purpose. So being a mom, being a stay-at-home mom of four is a tremendously meaningful work. But I run into a lot of people who approach that role in a way that makes them feel like they're dealing with a never-ending pile of tasks.
Yes.
That then just reboots the next day, and then it's another never-ending pile of tasks. And then you just feel like this machine that's just constantly going through stuff and pushing the kids away so you can get stuff done, or doing things in a way that don't help you feel connected to your husband or your kids, that just make you feel like you're doing and doing and doing. And I want you to look at that, right? Because that's the primary place that meaning comes from, connection.
Yes, and I have to say, most mothers, especially mothers of many, or I will say moms of one, where the intensity is right there all the time with this one person, we allow our days, we don't even realize we're doing it, to be dictated by whatever they're asking us for in the moment. You know, it's dictated by not, hey, I want to make sure that at this time of day, we have reading time together so that I'm, you know, sharing something beautiful with my children. At this time of day, we have art time together. It ends up being, one, I'm going to schedule stuff out of the house just to keep them busy because they're driving me crazy. And it's also, I want this snack. I need this thing. I have to go to the bathroom. And by the time the day is done, we've handled all of their requests, good, bad, or indifferent, and never come up for air and never come up for the kind of connection that we're talking about here.
So one thing I'd ask you to do, I'd like you to look at days in the last few weeks that have just gone better for some reason. When you have felt like you had more energy, like you felt like you had more connection to the kids, like you felt like you were getting more out of what you were doing. And if it means going back further, that's fine. But pick a day or two where things just seem a little bit better for some reason.
And I have to say, even look at your weekends, not just, oh, my husband was around to help, but did you guys plan something that connected you better over the weekend? Did you plan a family outing, and during that time, you felt a little bit connected? So look at all of your days.
And when you find those days, ask yourself, what's different? What's the difference that's making the difference? Like, you know, how did I approach that day? How did I approach my kids? How did I approach the work that I have to do in a way that felt more rewarding? How could I then be more intentional about building those elements into my everyday life so that perhaps I could change the way I'm working so that it feels a little more meaningful? I'd also like you to look at the way you get tasks done. A lot of times what parents of littles will do, it's the most natural thing in the world, is we think, you know what, it's going to be, I just have to get this thing done. So I'm going to send the kids to the other room and get the thing done. And then, of course, we don't get anything done because every 3 seconds the kids need something from us.
Yeah.
And we end up resenting them for needing us, which is silly because that's why we're home in the first place. But then we never get anything. We feel like never get anything done.
Yeah, or they're in the other room and suddenly everything's real quiet and we realize, well, we got the kitchen cleaned up, but we turned around and like the playroom is now a disaster. And now we've got to do that and we feel depleted by it because we've put them in another space.
So this is a little counterintuitive, but I'm going to ask you to look at what chores you could have the kids do with you. So, for example, you know, and have this be part of a rhythm of the day. Actually, this will be the third suggestion I'll make, but I'm doing it in reverse order. You know, can you have the kids fold the laundry with you? Can you have the kids, you know, set them up with, if they can't help you, you know, chop vegetables or cook the meal or whatever, then set them up with play food while so that they can help, quote unquote, help make dinner at the same time that you are. The more we can keep our kids with us while we're doing the tasks and teach them to participate and contribute, the more meaningful those tasks seem, because if we're constantly shushing them away, pushing them away, we feel divided and split all the time. We resent them. We resent what we're doing.
And they always want our attention, so they get whiny or they do something to get our attention that we don't like, and it just becomes a snowball of ugh.
And then the third thing, I want you to be intentional about planning the day. Like Lisa was talking about, you know, we have a tendency to just sort of react to the next thing that has to happen. The more of a routine you create...
A routine that you actually enjoy and get something out of.
Yeah, so the more you create that routine that actually works for you, it's not just, oh, I have to do this. It's, well, there really is no have to. There's what I'm choosing to, okay? And so choose a routine that works for you and your family, that actually helps you stay connected and helps you feel like you're getting things done, but in a way that's life-affirming. Parenting isn't easy. Being a stay-at-home mom is hard work, but it doesn't have to be meaningless. It doesn't have to feel draining. It's really all about the approach that we're taking and whether we're being mindful of the things we talked about in our reflection. Are you doing this work in a way that helps you feel connected to your kids, that helps you feel connected to yourself? Are you being mindful of those differences that make a difference and trying to intentionally build them into your day so that those days can be more rewarding? Are you remembering to, you know, keep your kids with you as much as possible so that you can do things together, even the chores in the house, instead of constantly feeling torn?
Right. It'll give you a sense of connection and purpose together and be much less depleting than having them be scattered all over the place.
And this is a different way of thinking about family life and parenting. So if you'd like more support in this, I'd encourage you to become a member of the Catholic Home community. That's the Catholic HOM app that you can subscribe to, where you can get parent coaching, tons of creative resources to really build a more loving, caring, and connected Catholic family life. Check it out, Catholic HOM, wherever you get your apps. We'd love to have you be part of that community and get the support that you need to really thrive and get your energy back as a mom. Thank you so much for the question, Bethany. We hope that these suggestions will get you started. We hope to see you on the Catholic Home app and joining in those conversations there. I think that you'll get a lot out of it, but I really appreciate you reaching out to us today because I know that you spoke for a lot of moms.
Yes, for sure.
In the More to Life audience. All right, with that, we have to go to break. It's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Psalms 127, verse 1.
Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it.
And we pick this verse today as a reminder that an important part of being Christian, okay, is that first beatitude. Blessed are the poor in spirit. And what does that mean? Well, it means that we need to acknowledge that we don't know how to do anything, mm-hmm. especially work. We don't know how to do things in ways that actually work, and we don't know how to work in ways that work. And the psalmist is reminding us here that because we don't know how to do things in ways that actually work for us, we need to always start by bringing it to the Lord first and saying, okay, Lord, I got to parent these kids today. Okay, Lord, I got to go to work today. Okay, Lord, I got to do this project. Okay, Lord, I'm working on this relationship. How do you want me to approach this thing? How do you want me to do this so that not just do you want me to do it, but how do you want me to do it in a way that would actually be life-giving? Because if we do that first and really think through the answer to that prayer, then we're letting the Lord build our house. But too often what we say is, okay, Lord, do you want me to do this or not? And then we feel like, yes, God wants me to do that. And then we just go off and do it on our own way. And we make a hash out of it. And it burns us out. So remember, unless the Lord builds the house, we labor in vain. Psalm 127, verse 1. 877-573-7825. Let's talk about those areas in your life or relationships where you're feeling a little burned out these days. More to Life will come back in a minute with more tips on how to get your energy and focus and meaning back.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Are you struggling with a persistent emotional or relationship problem? Maybe those thoughts and feelings won't leave you alone, or your marriage has grown distant, or a wound from your past still aches. Too many of us tell us that we should be able to handle it alone, or that good Catholics shouldn't need help. That's not true. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, founder of CatholicCounselors.com. My team of pastoral counselors will help you find solutions rooted in solid psychology and our Catholic faith, so you don't have to choose between getting real help and staying true to what you believe. Visit CatholicCounselors.com and discover how we can help your faith, life, and relationships flourish.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
This Ave Maria program brought to you in part by the following nonprofit.
One of the greatest threats to your family isn't a disaster or a virus, but addiction. In nearly every family and every pew, someone is silently struggling. Beginning July 11th, Shalom World TV and the iThirst Initiative present Unshackled, a powerful new series on the Catholic Church's response to the addiction crisis, bringing together leading voices to discuss real healing. Stream it free at shalomworld.org or on the Shalom World app today.
Want more tips for living an abundant life through the theology of the body? Follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa and on Instagram at Catholic Counselors.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. And today on More to Life, running on empty, as we talk about burnout in our work, our life, our relationships, even our spiritual life, where do you need to get your energy back? Let's talk it out, 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Barbara, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas.
Barbara, welcome to the show. How can we help you out?
Well, my son is 41, my daughter is 35, and it just, you know, hard to get them back to the sacraments, and I just... You know, a lot of times I just drain myself.
When you say trying to get them back to the sacraments, what are the kinds of things that you've been doing? Just so I know where to start here.
Well, I don't tell them, you know, like I should. I mean, I'll text my daughter, you know, Mass is at a certain time, and I get no response, and you know, just. Questions like, am I going to do this? Am I going to go to hell? You know, certain things.
She asks
your daughter's
those
asking
questions?
Those questions? Or?
Yeah, like if she tells a lie, you know, and I guess my thing is I don't...
I'm trying to understand how the context of how that would come up. Can you give me an example of the conversation where that came up?
Oh, well, she... I can't... think of anything now, but oh, it was this toothpaste. Actually, it was a fluoride, you know, it was prescription. So I had the prescriptions. I got me one, and she told them that I lost it, you know, that me, I lost it, and she got another one because she wanted one. She could not get it from the, you know, from the, then she goes to.
Okay, so let me just answer the broader question here about, you know, how do you approach your kids when they've fallen away from the faith?
Yeah.
You know, and here's the thing, Barbara. We have to recognize that a lot of times our kids were sacramentalized, but they weren't evangelized, right? And what that means is we did our best to bring them to Mass, to have them make their sacraments, but... somehow we didn't introduce them to the person of Jesus and help them have a relationship with Christ where they found those sacraments meaningful. You know, a lot of times when kids are sacramentalized but not evangelized, they think of going to church or participating in the sacraments or even spiritual practices in general as this sort of weird habit that mom and dad make them do, but that don't really connect them with the real person of Christ.
A weird habit, but also usually a set of rules. So in your daughter's consciousness is kind of the Ten Commandments, what she should and shouldn't do. So she tries to get around the pharmacist by saying something that isn't entirely true. And then she has in the back of her head, ooh, could this work against me to getting into heaven? Ooh, am I going to get in trouble with God for this? But that's not a personal relationship with a loving God who she is talking to throughout the day, building her life around, finding joy in, because that isn't the person that she was ever really introduced to growing up. And when we just text somebody and say, well, Mass is at this time, but never have those like more meaningful conversations about what God means to you, what God means to them, how to grow in that, it just falls flat.
Yeah, and I think that we end up fighting for, the reason you're getting burned out is because you're fighting for something that even if you got them to do, they wouldn't know what to do with it, right? So even if you dragged them to Mass because they weren't evangelized, they wouldn't know how to connect. You could get them there once, but then that'd be it. And a lot of people do that. You're like, all I want for Mother's Day, or all I want for my birthday, or all I want for,
yes,
is for the family to come to Mass, right? And then you get them there, and then what? So the issue is how, not so much how do you re-sacramentalize them, it's how do you evangelize them? How do you help them see the power of God's love and grace working in your life, number one, and how God wants to manifest his love and grace in their lives? Well, great question, Greg. How do you do that? Okay. Well, thank you, Barbara. Sorry. No, so number one is really asking yourself, what is my witness? If the kids looked at me, would they be able to say, this is how Barbara's faith strengthens her and helps her be a powerhouse? You know, it really helps her be the woman that we want to be when we grow up. You know, to have the kind of relationships that we want to have when we grow up, to have the kind of life. And when I say that, I don't mean, you know, fancy life with lots of money or whatever. I mean, like, a person who really faces the challenges in your life with courage and with grace, and really handles things in a way that you know is kind of remarkable to them.
Somebody who finds more joy than the average person in the good things in their lives because they know that it's coming from their relationship with God. They know they're loved by God.
And if so, then you want to share that with them. It's like, you know what, I was praying and I was dealing with this thing and I brought it to God and he really helped me through this and I really see that this is what I need to be doing, you know. Or I was really struggling in this area and I was really praying through this and I went to adoration and as I was there praying, you know, I felt God's presence and it really gave me the strength to go out and do X, Y, and Z. You know, or guys, I know that you were, you know, frustrated with me because of this, and I went and I prayed about it, and I was thinking through it, and this is what I think I'd like to do about it. You know, that's all witnessing to how you are taking advantage of your faith and the grace and the love that God is giving you to be a more effective, grace-filled person.
And you're not trying to convert them back to the church or bring them back to the church as a task that's going to make God happy. If I can get my kids back into church, it will make God happy. No, you want to be in that real living, life-giving relationship with the Lord because only the Holy Spirit can truly transform their hearts and minds.
So you're sharing your story of faith, and you're showing them how your faith is making a difference in your life. Then when they come to you and they complain about something, you empathize with them. You say, I'm so sorry you're going through that. That's really hard. I wish, you know, as your mom, that I could take that away from you. And you can offer whatever support you can. But then beyond that, say, you know, Lord, right there in the conversation, Lord, please bless my son or please bless my daughter. Help them to know how much you love them and lead them and guide them through this challenge. Amen. And then move on. You've brought the Lord into the conversation. You've introduced the idea that, hey, God could be a resource for us. We could turn to God in those times when we're struggling. Or if they tell you about something wonderful. Oh, guys, I am so glad that happened. That is so wonderful. What a great blessing. I'm so excited for you. Lord, thank you for bringing that blessing into my daughter's life, or bringing that blessing into my son's life. Thank you so much for being present to them. Then move on. You've brought the Lord into that conversation. Again, you're not beating them over the head. You're not making them feel judged. You're not hitting them with rules. You're witnessing to them that God is invested in their life, is interested in what's going on, and wants to be a resource for them, wants to be a friend to them. Those are two things, simple things that you can do that make a big difference in terms of evangelizing your kids. Because evangelization is all about encountering the presence of Christ and the power of His grace and love in our lives. And too often, again, we sacramentalize our kids. We take them to the sacraments. We walk them through spiritual disciplines. We take them to Mass. But we never really show them the difference that God's love and grace makes in our lives. In fact, that's why the research that we did through Georgetown University on families who successfully raised all of their kids to a faithful adulthood found that those adult kids who held on to their faith saw the faith making a real difference in the way their families lived together and loved each other.
And it's never too late for that. Even when we have adult kids, we can show them that difference. In fact, being able to bring that into our adult relationships with them can truly transform those relationships for the better.
So the reason you're burning out is because you're trying to re-sacramentalize them instead of evangelize them. That's a bit like that's a bit like trying to light a fire without a match. Right, you're piling up sticks, and you're hoping that eventually the lightning will just strike the sticks and the fire will get going. You need to get a match, and that match is evangelization, of sharing the power of God's love and grace in your life, witnessing to how God wants to be present to them by praying not just for them but with them in those little moments. We talk about all of this and more in our book, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Your Adult Sons and Daughters. You can pick it up at CatholicCounselors.com. It's not just about having conversations. It's really about how do you be a mentor to your adult kids and really bring them back to the faith and into deeper relationship with you. Again, that's Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Your Adult Sons and Daughters. It's available at CatholicCounselors.com or wherever books are sold. And folks, if you're tuning in and you'd like more support in getting your energy back, if you're feeling burned out, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We'll hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to transform your life.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Don't ever miss another episode of More to Life. Subscribe to the podcast at AveMariaRadio.net.